Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Sakina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. It's interesting because I hit something different on my live, and I ended up in the audio room, but hey, we're going to do this. We're going to work this out. This is Bettina Kirkendall of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. As I mentioned, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. So you will not see me with a picture or anything because I'm doing audio tonight. I want to see if I can change that, but we're going to keep working this out. So as you come into the room, just come on into the room. We're going to talk about, first of all, thank you all very much. I cannot believe that it's been 3 years, but I don't start to show off without prayer, so let's just get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you, Lord. I come to you humbly, humble, Lord, for all that you have brought me through. Oh, the beginning, during, and in the end, and still going. I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to just be used as your vessel, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be hope to someone who may be going through. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to just serve you and spread your name and show it not just by talking, but by walking as well. And as I move forward tonight, Lord, I thank you for 3 years, Lord. 3 years, and without your grace, I would not be here. Without your grace, I would not be here. And with that being said, I ask you to, I'm going to decree me, and I am going to ask you to come in and do your thing, Lord. I'm submitting it over to you because you are the Alpha, you are the Omega. You are the beginning and you are the end. I think I got it here. You are the end. And with that being said, let me just go on and say, I want to thank you all. It has been an interesting road, and even today it seems like it's kind of interesting too. I think I might change this on my personal page, but we're going to keep it moving. I thank you. Without you, there is no me. Of course, God comes first, but without you, I thank you all for always giving me the support that you've always given me and constantly doing it. I thank you. You are awesome. You are absolutely awesome, and I'm grateful to have you here tonight. Tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about, first of all, it's 3 years. I can't believe that I'm even here in the 3 years, to be honest with you. Seems like I'm still having technical difficulties, but we're not going to stress it. I'm going to take this over to my personal page, and we'll go from there. that just means good things are coming. That's what that means to me. So, there we go. Now, so what that means to me is that good things are coming, and I am just grateful, and I'm grateful, and I'm grateful, I am grateful, I am grateful, I am grateful. This morning or over the weekend, as I was actually planning the anniversary month for Chronicles, first of all, it dawned on me that it was 3 years, and then another part of me dawned on me the changes I've gone through, or Chronicles have gone through, throughout the changes. We started off as Chronicles of a Fondled Woman originally, and then it got changed over, and I'll tell you a history about that. I had a guest on the show, a dear friend of mine from Charleston, and she indicated, why are you still walking in brokenness? You are free now. Why not do favors? So I'm always grateful for LaVon Sunker for that. So I thank her for that. And now, it just seemed right when she was doing that. It just seemed right that she did that. And as a result of it, I am now here as a favorite woman and not a fondled woman. And as a result, I will let you know this. Everything is a process. everything is a process. You think about where you've been and think about where you are. It all came from a process. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's going to be live and direct tonight. You know, those who are coming in and those who are, you know, may catch it on a replay, we're going to talk about this tonight. And I remember, I tell you, when you think that people are not paying attention to you, they are. But I just want to say how grateful I am right now because support that I'm getting from you all. I don't have anything scripted tonight. Everything tonight will just be off the cuff. I don't work well anyway when I do a lot of writing because I always go off the cuff. And now that I've put it all in God's hands, listen, hey, cuz, how you doing? I love you. Hey, Tracy, how you doing? I love you. Tonight might be a little emotional, but I'm just going to tell my truth. And I remember when, as a survivor of molestation, you know, one thing, when people look at you, you know, they say, well, you don't look like you've been through well. I'm wondering, what does a person that's been molested look like? I'm curious. What do we look like? You know, behind every smile, there's always something going on behind the smile. The question is, do you want to find out what it is? I've been through years where people would just judge me. I mean, not even know my story. They just judge me. And I have to talk going back to grade school. You know, when I was younger, when the molestation was going on between kindergarten and third grade, you know, I was dealing with it in my own way. No, unbeknownst to me, that I was really acting out. They did not realize I was acting out. And as a result of it, you know, other things started to happen and people started to judge and people tried to do this, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, not graduated, but I got to high school. I was already what they call boy crazy. I was very short and tight, and those who know me knew that my tongue was as sharp as a double-edged sword. So that was my mechanism to keep people out of my boundaries. Long story short, I met someone my senior high school year, and I finally met someone that I could trust. And I was carrying this secret for a long time. I didn't realize how much it affected me in a negative way until I got older. But anyway, I finally met someone, and I was able to trust. For the first time, I was able to trust. I didn't trust friends. I didn't trust family. I didn't trust anyone because I didn't feel like no one had my back. You know, and they always threw me under the bus. That's how I felt. As a result of that, I was able, hey, Sin, how you doing? As a result of that, I finally met someone where I was finally able to reveal my big secret. And my secret was I was molested. And I was molested by a family member. You know, I tell people, pay attention to your children because they have a way of telling you what's going on without telling you what's going on. So sometimes they just don't know how to communicate it to you. So I had to learn that my own way. And I'll share to you as a result of that later on. I finally got able to get that elephant off my chest. And I don't know if any of you know, but when you have a secret and you just carry it for so long, it's a load for so long, and you're finally able to reveal that, it's like an elephant that comes off your chest. And that's how it was for me. Finally, I was able to tell somebody that I trusted what my big dark secret was. Well, high school years is now over, going to college, and now I realize I have other issues going on because I lived in a rural area, and those who you know who's on the line, y'all know about the rural areas, things are seen and not heard. And then for me, I live in a very sheltered environment. So I didn't have the opportunity to learn social skills. I was already warped because they didn't understand what boundaries were. So I went off to college and got introduced to other stuff. And that was called freedom. And I had the freedom to do whatever I want, but I didn't know how to handle the freedom. And no pun to my family. Let me go ahead and tell you that now for someone go out there, well, you know, no, it's not that. It is what it is. My grandmother did a phenomenal job in raising me. she taught me value. But I got to college and I was like a fish out of water or like fresh meat. And lo and behold, I ended up indulging in things. I became promiscuous. I became this. I didn't know who I was and whose I was. So I even had a self-identity situation when I was in college. I had so many insecurities, but being the strong person I am, trying to be the survivor I am, you would never know it. You just knew something was up, but you probably didn't know what it is. Or someone, you know, she's very snappy, she's very this, she's very that. Once again, the judgment came, the judgment time. But I also wondered, what if someone would have just asked me why? Why? Why do you operate the way you operate? And that goes back from being a child. Why are you doing the things that you do? Pay attention, adults and parents, pay attention. Or create an environment, I'll say that. Anyway, long story short, I realized a couple things in college. I was addicted to two things, pain and sex. Pain was something that whether I didn't feel like I could function without having some type of pain in my life. Now, I know people be like, you could be addicted to pain. Yes, you could be addicted to pain. Because if that's all you know is rejection. All you know is abandonment. All you know is that people are not going to have your back, but they're quick to throw you under the bus. You know, that's all you know. And if that's all you know, that's what you come accustomed to. And for me, if I didn't have pain in my life, I felt like I was not functional. I couldn't function. So I would even inflict pain on me, regardless of what that pain may be. And that pain is, because people asked me that question before, that pain could be physical. That pain was physical, emotional, mental, and in every way possible, that pain was there. As a result, as I got older, I started going to therapy. And when I started going into therapy, I would start talking about it. And this happened when I got married. You know, I started talking about it, but then I would just fall back. So going back to that, knowing that I had to go to therapy at that point is when my ex-husband told me that I was fighting him in his sleep. And I kept saying, you're not going to hurt me anymore. You're not going to hurt me anymore. And more he came to me, the more and more I fought him off. That's when I knew it was time for me to get the help. Let me sidebar on this. When you're seeking therapy, and let me just go ahead and say this. There is nothing wrong with getting a therapist. If you have something going on, God provides physicians and everything for a reason. And use them. That's what they're there for. Don't be embarrassed, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to stay in bondage. He wants you to stay locked down. He wants you to continue to be whatever you want to continue to be. But the truth of the matter is, I got to a point where I had to do something about it. I got my first therapist, and it was okay, but I was still fresh into the fact that, fresh in, hey, phony mom, I got fresh into it. So whenever we would have to actually talk about the actual abuse or what was going on with me, I would get scared and just fall back. I would just fall back. I wouldn't go back and look at it again, because I was afraid of dealing with the pain, not realizing it's a process to everything. And then time went on, stopped with my therapist, continued to live life dysfunctionally, and not realizing, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're either a victim or a survivor or whatever. And as far as I'm concerned, I thought I was good. I thought I was handling. But I found out I was making situations even worse, because now I became whatever people made me out to be, because I didn't know anyone. I didn't know any better, I'll say that, because I didn't know who I was. I didn't have those instructions like those. I didn't have anyone feeding in me the way they should have, because the people who should have been feeding me was discouraging me or criticizing me or putting me down to make me feel like I was not worthy. And that caused a big ripple effect. It caused me to have a bad marriage, because I should have never married the person I should have. No pun against my child's father, but I shouldn't have, hey, Miss Carolyn, I shouldn't have married that person, because I was married for the wrong reason. But as a result, now I'm promiscuous. I've been out there. I got a sex addiction. I got pain addiction. Now I'm having, they call it executive functioning skills on how to actually live. When people thought I had it all together, because I used to put it out, you know, I just put it out there, you know, thinking that I had it all together. And I really didn't have it all together. I really didn't, but I was faking it till I make it. As a result of it, I got older. I got into other bad relationships. I equated sex for love. And actually, sex was a numbing pain for me. So I knew that if I was in pain, if I was discouraged, if I was this, I was that, I could go to two things, pain and sex. I knew that I could do that. No, they weren't good for me, but guess what? I knew that they were faithful. And I don't know if anybody out there has been going through stuff like that. I'm just going to be real with mine. And this is all to it, because that's what led me to this where I'm at now. So, yeah, pain and sex. It was my numbing. I tell people, just like people get addicted to alcohol, people can get addicted to sex as well. And people tend to frown. You know, they tend to frown when they hear, oh, she was addicted to sex, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I don't need nobody to tell my story. I can tell my own story. I was. And I will say this. If it wasn't for God's mercy, that's all I will say on that. Don't be so quick to judge why people do the things that they do. I always tell, I remember my brother coming to me. He was in college. He was coming to me about a young lady, and he said they labeled her as a whore. And I said, you don't even know. Do you know that lady's story? I mean, have you found out what makes her do what she does? Why label her, and then why go by somebody else's opinion or thoughts of them? I said, when you see that young lady again, why don't you go to her, say, hey, you know, show her, you know, show her some type of kindness, because she's probably not used to it. Now, she may fall back from it because she's so used to being treated a certain way that somebody done called her out a name, made her out to be this, and now that's all she does. She's probably pretending, becoming exactly what everybody has made her out to be, because nobody has any faith or trust in her. You could either be a blessing or a hindrance for someone. So you need to be careful on how you approach people, because you don't know what they're going through. So as I was continuing my brother, I said, do you not know that people called your sister a whore? They don't know my story, but he didn't know either. I didn't tell my story to my family until I got older in my years. I got older in my years. So I went through college promiscuous, going through a whole bunch of men, going through all this, because it was my numbing, and I thought I had love. I thought I had love, and come to find out I didn't have love, because I didn't even know what love was. I didn't even know that, I mean, I knew God, but I mean, I didn't know what his God's love was for me. So as I got older and I started getting into the church, I got into the church and I started learning more about the word. I realized that something's got to give, but I don't know how to do it or what to do, because I just don't know how to even have a friendship. I couldn't understand. I didn't understand it. I was very loyal. And once you betrayed me, what I felt like you betrayed, it could have been a simple disagreement, but I took a mountain and made it, I took a molehill and made a mountain of it, because I didn't know. I didn't know how to have a relationship. I didn't know how to have, and that was females and males. I didn't know how, because I didn't understand the perception of boundaries. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As time went on and I started maturing, it was the last relationship. You know what's interesting? Is that I remember meeting a gentleman, and he treated me like a man treats a woman. And I did not know how to receive that. I didn't know how to receive what true love was, because I didn't know what true love was. And I tore him down. I felt like he was weak, because I was so used to people and men treating me some kind of way because I allowed it and I condoned it, that when I did get someone who was good, I didn't know how to treat it. So I'm just telling you, ladies, check self first. And now that I'm older and, you know, hindsight is 20/20, he was actually a really good dude. He was a nice dude. And the only one other person that was like that, I had to break up with him because I didn't feel like he deserved, because I didn't know what was going on with me. So you can't help me because I don't know how to help myself right now. But it's interesting that when you've been battered and abused and rejected and abandoned so much, that when good things come along, you don't even know how to receive it. And that's how I was. I didn't know how to receive it. I went on having, continued having more bad relationships, and actually abusing myself more than anything. And I got into the church, as I mentioned, and I would, you know, get saved. I get filled with the Holy Spirit and be ready to praise the Lord and you know, blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as a memory triggered, all hate broke loose in me. And I was like, wait a minute. Lord, you were supposed to save me. You were supposed to get me out of this. I'm not supposed to go back to what I'm doing. What is going on right here? But then I had to learn a couple things. You know, then I was like, you know, well, why me? Why, Lord? Why me? I mean, why am the one that someone always has to put their hands on me? Why am I always the one that always has to be rejected? Why am I the one that people always throw me under the bus? Why, Lord? Why? I don't understand it. You know what he said? He said, why not you? That stopped me in my tracks. He said, why not you? He said, I need someone who has gone through to help, because I got people I need you to touch. I got people that need to hear your message. I got people that need to hear your story. And I said, I don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. You know, and that went on for a while. And I'm not going to tell you that I stopped the addiction right then and there. No, I continued to do what I knew best, because sometimes when you get in uncomfortable situations, you fall back to what you know, and what I knew was sex and pain. And because I knew, hey, sex and pain was like, come on, I got you, Tina. No, they not treating you right, but I got you. Come on over here. And so that's what I did. I fell short every time. How many times have I tried to go after that? I can't even count it, because there ain't enough fingers and toes on me to say what I did. But when I did do it, it wasn't until I had my second child. I knew something was going on with me. I kept praying, Lord, something got to be better than this. But as I was going through, and I, before, you know, I just saw I was in a very horrible relationship, And as when I had my son, I almost died. Before the baby, during the baby, after the baby, and then even more after that. And I knew that something was going on with me, because I didn't look at sex the same way. I didn't look at it as a numbing pain anymore. Now I felt like I need to have something got to be going on. It can't be just hit it and quit it, because yes, men, women will hit it and quit it too, you know. My thing is this, I knew that it had to be something better. I knew that I had to find some type of grounding point. And even after I had my son, I still had that theme, like I had to have that fix. Let me tell you something here. When you have an addiction, it will cause you to do some stupid things, okay? And for me, it was one of those things where I saw that I was with someone. Horrible. And I kept saying, how did I get in here? And I was like, oh, yeah, it was sex. And that's when I knew. At that moment, that's when I knew I got to cut this. Because if it's causing me to make dumb decisions like this, then I need to let it go. So I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I need you to help me. I can't do this. I just can't. So I need you to come down. I need you to come down right now and help me get out of this, because I know you have something better for me. I know that you have, and you showed me the vision as plain as day. He showed me the vision and sent someone to call me to tell me about the same dream that they had. So I knew that you had something for me, but I can't do this. I can't. I'm weak. I cannot do it, and I need you to come down and get me. Let me tell you something about grace and mercy. Grace and mercy will follow you anywhere you are. If you are desperate enough and you're hungry enough to want him, he will come down, and he did that. He came came in the dirt where I was, in myself, and pulled me out and said, listen, I got you, Tina. I got you. I heard your prayers, and I got you. So I said, thank you, Jesus, because I need you right now. I don't want to continue to do this anymore. I need your help. I need instructions on what you need me to do. I don't want to live like this anymore. And he said, you know what? You don't have to, because I heard your cry. I heard your heart. I see that you're trying, and now I am here. So he picked me up. He washed me off, y'all. He washed me clean as snow. He breathed life into me and said, you no longer have to answer to poor. You don't no longer have to answer to me. You don't have to answer to this. You don't no longer have to answer to that. I call you my sought after. I call you my gem. I call you my beautiful. I call you my woman of God. And when I am for you, nobody can be against you. So I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for gracing me. I thank you for using me as your vessel. So right now, Lord, what I will do, I will go out there. I will go out there, and I will help everybody that wants to be helped. Let me be your vessel. I don't mind being transparent. I don't mind putting it out there. You don't got to tell my story. I can tell my own story. I can tell you how I went through men after men after men after men. I can tell you how I went through pain after pain after pain. I can tell you that. I don't need nobody to tell my story. Yeah, I did it. Yes, I did it. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. It's okay. I'm here to tell you. I don't care what you got going on. I don't care what you got going on. I don't care how bad you think your situation is. There is nothing too hard for God. He will get you wherever you are. Like I said, grace and mercy will follow you wherever you are. All you have to do is call on him. Reach out your hands and stretch out. Tell him, I got you. Lord, I need you. And he will come. My thing is this. Are you serious? I got to a point where I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was sick and I was tired. I was sick and I was tired. And I couldn't do no more. Not only did he give me to handle with, he gave me a little child because he knew I needed something that was going to ground me. And I knew I had that little boy to take care of. So either I was going to sink or I was going to swim. And honey, anybody who knows me know I'm a survivor. I ain't about to go out like that. So I said, Lord, you got me. Oh, yeah, you got me, Lord. I will do whatever you need me to do. I started that. In 2008, I got a vision. I was in church, never forget, in Charleston, Liberty Hill. And I remember just writing. I couldn't stop writing. I couldn't stop writing. I couldn't stop writing. I was just writing, writing. I took that. I chucked it in the way, didn't do anything else. 2012, I heard about Blog Talk Radio. I was like, hey, I got something to say. So I went and set up an account. Didn't do nothing with the account. Didn't do nothing. Finally, I was up channel surfing one night. I have nothing against Steve Harvey, but, you know, his late night ain't not my forte. But that particular night, I was drawn to his show. And I remember they were talking about, you know, entrepreneurs and people stepping out on faith. And Tyra Banks was on there one night. And she talked about how she stepped out of her comfort zone and started a cosmetic line. She went back to school, got her business degree, and then she started her cosmetic line. She said what she did was she held her breath and jumped. Now, before that, God was already talking to me, you need to start telling your story more. I was like, okay, I'm in Georgia now. I don't have the resources. He said, just trust what I say. Be ready. He said, I closed my eyes, I stepped out, and I jumped. And that's when I said, okay, I'm setting a date, August 11, 2019. I'm going to air my first show. Because I knew when I put a date on it, then I knew it was signed, sealed, and delivered for me. There is no calling. There's no going back. There is no going back. So I thought to myself, all right, so I set this date. I need to go into my blog talk. I need to find, you know, what you want me to call this. I got to get a logo together. And then in the meantime, as I was talking, people were putting things in my place. You know, they were putting the foundation. My cousin came. She heard what I wanted to do. She made my logo. Made my logo as a gift. Teresa, I will never forget you. I love you to life. Thank you. I got my logo. I started putting my logo in. Now I start putting my input in. All right, so I always have somebody who proofreads my stuff, and y'all, I'm horrible when it comes to writing, and that would be Denise, or you all know her as Karen. And she had to speak at an event because I was like, what is my first show going to be named? Now I'm not trying to get paranoid, but I know I need to have something together. And she told me she had to speak, and she, you know, she was, you know, so we go through stuff sometimes, and she said, I really don't want to speak, so I'm going to say 15 reasons why I didn't want to speak. I said, that's it! That's it! That's the name of the show! That's the first show! 15 reasons why I do not want to do the show. And, of course, I got her permission first. But she was my first guest. I will never forget that. And I will tell you that. I tell you all this to say this. Fear will cripple you if you allow it. Fear will hinder you if you allow it. But when you start breaking down that definition of fear, you realize that that is nothing but false evidence appearing to be real. And that's what it was to me. I realized that all the things that the enemy was putting on me, I was reading this book about gateways, the gates and stuff that the enemy puts around us. And he puts around that gate of fear. He not only put it around us, he padlocks it, he covers it up, he does everything to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Or not only that, he's keeping you in bondage when you're going towards freedom. As I move forward in making the show up or getting the show together, and the reasons why we could, you know, wouldn't do it, she was my first guest, I would never forget. Now I got the show going, big relief. But now I'm still dealing with that, well, you know that's not going to work. And then I'm dealing with, I'm not going to support you. I'm not going to support this. Or I don't think you could make this work. The naysayers. Ladies and gentlemen, I remember someone said on a radio show, let your haters be your motivators. And that's what I had to do. I said, you know what? God called me to do this, and I'm going to do this. And he knew exactly what to do because you all, those who know me, know that I'm brave. Now I'm brazen, you know. But I knew that what I went through, other people were going through. I didn't have the luxury of having someone to speak into my life. I didn't have the luxury of having that quote-unquote person I could talk to. When I was going through, I didn't have that. I had to do it by myself. Silence no more. And I mean silence no more. I will go to the rooftop. I will go to the mountaintop. I will go down to the valley. I will go down to everywhere I need to go if it's going to cause me to go back and get someone and help them to move forward. Well, you know, it's a process. It is truly a process. First, you have the process, which we already talked about, the process. Now, when you go through the process, you're going to have to deal with the naysayers. You're going to have to deal with, she thinks she all that. Yeah, I do. I do. I think I'm all that because God made me all that. God made me all that. And because he made me all that, that's why I'm here today. And you know what? You could be all that too if you're ready. I'll help you if that's what you want. And, yes, I saw something that says finding your voice. I had to find my voice. Yes, ma'am. And when you learn, there is power in your voice. You understand? When you're going through that process, you're going through the naysayers. You're going through the people who thought they were supposed to be your friend, and then they backstabbing you or putting your business out there in the street. Like, you need that. You know, you're going to go through that. That's part of the process. You can't go around the process. You can't go under the process. You can't go above the process. You can't go beside the process. You have to go through the process. And the process is not easy, but just know in the process, during the processing period is when refining is done. That's when you find out the people who are for you are not for you. And that's when you got it in God's hands, he is taking them out the way. The thing is, keep them gone. If they leave, let them leave. If he removes them, let them go. Because now what he's going to do is he's going to make room for the people that need to feed your life. And that's what he did with me. I lost some people. I'm not mad. I got hurt. I'm not mad. I was betrayed. I'm not mad. I want to say thank you. That's what I want to say. Thank you. Because after I went through all of that, I went through the tears. Oh, I went through the tears. 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 And as I was going through my tears, and I said, okay, Lord, you delivered me, and I actually delivered me, and I'm still getting hurt. Even now, as I reach my third year, I still deal with the drama. And it's not just with Chronicles, because the drama comes not just, you know, here it comes around your work, it comes around the children, it comes around whatever. But then I said, I'm not going to ask you why, Lord. Bishop Dale Bronner said, don't ask why, ask what would you learn, have me learn from this. So that's my question to him at this moment. What would you have me learn from all this experience? The fondling, the this, the backstabbing, the that, the rejection from your own family. You know, what would you have me learn from this? And he said, friend, the process that we're in, it builds our strength and it builds our character. You don't understand it now. But going through many processes in my life, it has brought me to a place where, one, I will be silent no more. Two, I recognize my voice. I recognize how to utilize and the power of my voice. Three, I learned that I'm going to put my crown on. So that means whatever labels you were trying to put on me or whatever labels you were trying to do, that is your business. That is no longer my business. I'm going to hold my head up because God has made me a new creature, honey. And when he made me a new creature, hey, what more can I ask for? If you want to stay stuck or where I used to be, you stay stuck by yourself because I'm not going to take that with me. And as I go, like Jacob said, every round goes higher and higher and higher. It's not my fault what happened to me, but it is my responsibility to make the most of it. And I have chosen to use my voice. So, Katrina, I'm going to encourage you to find your voice. And, honey, I see that you're doing it. I see it, so I can't wait for us to partner. Find your voice, utilize your voice, and then learn to let go all the old labels and wear your new one. Because Tyler Perry said it best. He said, it's not what you call, it's what you answer. So I now select what I answer to. And if it's nothing that's edifying God, I don't even know it. I don't even know that person anymore. Because I haven't been that person I don't know how long. And I'll be dog if I'm going to let somebody take me back to where I used to be. No. And that includes, okay, let me just be real. Sex. Female. I was just talking about this not too long ago. When it comes to being abstinent, yes, I went abstinent. It was a choice. I made a covenant with God that, you know what? I can't, in order for me to serve you, I got to be about you. Am I perfect? No. But when it comes to abstinence and when I make a covenant, I don't break that. So that means conversation. That means text. That means email. Even masturbation, okay? That's all out the door. We don't do that no more, okay? Because when you masturbate, you got to go to a different place in your mind to get you to that point where you're going to relieve yourself. And that's not where you want to be because now you're going backwards. So I'm just telling you. So when I asked you that question not too long ago, I cut all that out. And sometimes I had to cut people off because men, for some reason, think that when women decide that we want to go after them, whatever, they feel like they want to test the water. Well, I will be the one to break her. Not this chick, because when my feet is planted, it's planted. I have a work to do for God, and I have a responsibility, not only for God, for myself, and also those who he has designed to hear my story. You can't be walking like a dog and talking like a cat. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. I done tried it. Trust me, I done tried it. It don't work. So all I'm saying to you is when you're going through that process, and it is a process, you're going to have to go through. You don't want to go through. Lord knows nobody wants to go through the process because the process hurts. It hurts like I don't know what. But when you are done with the process, let's talk about that. When I was done with my process and still getting through, you get, there is peace from your process. There is joy that comes from going through the process. There is life, and I'm talking like a new life that comes after the process. You can't understand it then. It's just like sandpaper. You have people there that always criticize you. They're lying on your name, scandalizing. They doing this. Take it as sandpaper, baby. Yeah, it may be rough. It's rough. They polishing you, y'all. They polishing you. They polishing you. But when it's all said and done and you are done, honey, you are a polished product. And if you look back at the sandpaper, they all worn. But all I can tell you is I've learned to do this. Lord, I'm going to put it in your hands now because you know my tongue is sharp. So anything that comes against me, Jesus, JC, I'm going to need you to handle that because I don't want to handle that because I don't want to block my blessings. So all I'm saying is, it's necessary. You may not understand it now, but you will understand it later. I remember talking to a mentor and a young lady before. She reminded me of myself. And I said, sweetheart, you're so much better than what you're putting out there. And I just had to break it down and talk in a language she can understand. I said, you think, listen, you look at me and you, no, I wasn't always like this. I was a cold. Okay, I was a cold. Trust me, okay, and I was ratchet, and I was very ratchet. Okay, I'll be the first one to tell you. But when you allow Jesus to come in and you get serious, he will take you to a place where you say, "Well, I didn't think you was like that." Yes, that's the beautiful thing about grace. Because once he extends his grace and covers you with it, you don't look like what you went through. You don't look like what you used to be. You look like a new creature. I said, so if he did it for me, I know he can do it for you. And I'm telling you that if he did it for me, I know he can do it for you. Sometimes we have this situation where the reason I do what I do is because we have people like myself. I suffered in silence. I didn't have anybody I could talk to. And the people who I thought was for me was actually talking about me. They were actually talking about me. And that hurt me to my core that the people that I love, the people I thought loved me, could talk about me like that without even getting to know me or better yet, trying to help. You know, that, let me see what's going on. Let me help you. So I say all that to say, that's why I'm here tonight. I don't mind keeping it real. I don't mind keeping it real because people need to understand you're not by yourself. You have people out there that's here. You have people out there that visual. Look at the Bible. Now, if anybody can show me someone in the Bible besides Jesus that did not have a past, please give me scripture, books, whatever your case may be. Everybody has gone through something to get to where they are. That's why it's called a test. A test is a process that creates a testimony that will help those who are going through a testing period because you are the polished product. You can show them, if he did it for me, he will do it for you. The question is, do you want it? Do you want it, and how bad do you want it? If he could take me from being molested, if he could take me from having the pain and the addiction, he could take me from having the sex addiction, if he could take me for just damaging and sabotaging relationships and friendships, for whatever, and I didn't know how to differentiate business from professional, personal. I did not know. If you hurt me, you hurt me. That was a wrap. And, honey, I will snap you up in pieces, and I will come back and do the rest and grind you up. If he can take me okay? If he could take me and he could use me, he can use anybody. And trust me when I tell you, that sex addiction was long, and it was a hard one to cut. It really was. But I did it. Through God's grace, I did it. I want to encourage you. Yes, we have processes, but the processes are there for a reason. You may not understand it, but it's there for a reason. It's there to make you better. I remember a pastor once telling me, Sachina, the things that happen to you in your life is not for you. It's for someone else. And for a long time, I didn't get that. But now I do. So you know what? I thank you for the process. I thank you for choosing me to go through this process. I thank you for using me to go through this process because it's brought me here. 3 years as of August 11th, here to tell other people, create a platform. You are not by yourself. You have other people you can encourage from your story because that's what it's designed for. So you can help someone else who is going through. Do it. And if you don't know, you know what? Do it afraid. Because I was afraid for a long time. Just go to that cliff, hold your breath, close your eyes. Jump. And ever since I made the decision to jump, he has never let me fall yet. Not yet. He has never let me fall. I will stay in his grace. I will stay in his mercy because through it all the stuff I was going through, it will affect your health as well. Let me just tell you that. I've talked to a sister who has diabetes, high blood pressure, hypothyroidism. I've had congestive heart failure. I've had 2 heart attacks. I have over 5 strokes. I've gone through chemo. I have gone through infusions. I have gone through all that. And all of that came from stress, unnecessary stress I should not have because I could not let stuff go. When I was in the hospital with my 2nd heart attack, God came to me and said, it's time for you to let that stuff go. And this was my youngest son's father. Because I'm not going to lie to you. I wanted to do him some serious harm. I was from navel to neck. And I was going to wait. So I knew God sent that child to me for a reason. Because I allowed that. And I can't say that was all him because I allowed that. So I couldn't check nobody but me. But honey, when you done had the things that you don't like, now you got a big you got a bigger scope. You got a bigger perception of what you will accept and what you won't accept. And that's where I'm at this time. What I will accept is we on the same level. You trying to honor God just like I'm trying to honor God. But not only that, you can't be walking like a dog and talking like a cat. Don't be trying to get me and bait me saying that you all this because it's always going to come up. My point is this. The process. It's a process, baby. The process ain't easy, but it's necessary for growth. And I'm sure. I mean, I have quite a few of you all on here, and I thank you all so much. I'm sorry I can't do all the shout-outs and try to get the word out, too. But I do want to know this. How many of you all have gone through a process or going through a process? I'm just curious, how many of you all are going through? Everybody goes through a process. Everybody goes through the process. And as you grow in your process, guess what? As you go through 1 feat, guess what? A new level brings a bigger devil. A new level brings a bigger devil. And that is the truth. I'm just here to tell you, if you are going through, stand fast, stand tall. It will be all right. Stay focused. Don't be looking backwards. Move forward. Don't be looking backwards. Move forward. Because whatever's going on back there is in the past. And you can't live in the past, honey. You got to live in the present and then go towards the future. The question is 2 things. Do you want to live or do you want to die? Because we got 1 shot at this thing called life. And either we're going to make the most of it. So the question now again is, Are you living or are you just existing? Because when I leave this earth, I want to leave empty. I don't want to leave with a whole bunch of talent, because that's where the graveyard is filled, with a whole bunch of undiscovered talent or unused talent. I want to leave here empty. I want to make that impact to show if I went through it, I know that you can go through. I mean, you will get through it. And it, you just got to want it. Like Les Brown said, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry. And you got to be hungry for your freedom. Don't you get tired of being in bondage? Don't you get tired of always putting yourself down? Because you got to be careful. We got these little people in our brains. I always say, I call them the little people, always trying to tell you what you can't do, what you can't this. But then I tell myself, you know what, enemy, devil, you know what, you've been playing this game for a long time. And I'm to a point now where I know who my God is. I know who I am and whose I am. So I am no longer going to accept what you have to say about me any longer, because my father told me who I am and whose I am and where he got me going. And I'm going to go forward. So anytime he tries to do it, because I ain't going to tell you, don't try to do it multiple times. My attitude is not today. Not today, JC. I mean, not today, devil. JC, I'm going to need you to take care of that. Take care of that, because I can't do it on my own. And he will come after you. The enemy will come after you through your job. He will come after you through your children. He will come after you through any and everything. A car accident, a loss, or whatever. But I tell you, if you just keep the faith, just keep the faith, I promise you, the process is going to be all right. And you know what? When it comes to a process, you start off as a coal, but a coal has to endure pressure before it becomes a diamond. And honey, you are looking at a diamond right now, because I have been through, and I got scars to show. I have been through, and that's why I'm here. Right now, that's why I'm here, because of the process. That's why I'm here to encourage you. That's why I'm here to let you know you will get through. Okay, that it does get, you get discouraged, don't stay in it. That's my thing. Don't stay in it and don't use it as an excuse. And not only that, don't be trying to spread it to other people trying to be Debbie Downer. I get that you want to get stuff off your chest, but don't stay down in it. You mean every time you talk, it's the same thing. You got to get to a point where you got to see yourself the way people see you. Because I didn't. For a long time, I didn't see that I was pretty. I didn't see I was beautiful, because I was always told opposite. I didn't see that God had a calling on me, because as far as I'm concerned, I've done so many bad things. He's not going to forgive me. So I'm just going to survive and just exist instead of live. But look at me now. 3 years, August 11th, and I couldn't do it without you all. I am so grateful for who God is in my life, and I am grateful for the people he surrounded me, because I asked him to surround me around people who were like-minded like me, surround me around people who sincerely love me, and surround me around people who want the best for me and will encourage me when I need to be encouraged. Those who know me know that I'm a very strong person. I have no choice. I'm a single mama. I deal with health challenges, so I'm going to always run and do what I need to do. And do I get stuff coming against me? Yeah, I got one situation at work, but you know what? Still I rise. The best thing I say, Lord, take the wheel. Take the wheel, and then I start praying for them. So I do say this, the power of prayer. I know you asked me to pray for the one that did me wrong. You asked me for the one to pray for the one that violated you. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you to do, because the forgiveness that you need to do when you pray, because you're going to be praying for them, and then you need to pray for forgiveness. Forgive them and then forgive yourself, okay, because that's a stronghold that the enemy is trying to get you on. And you will need to be doing that. You ain't got time for that. You just don't have that type of time. It's time for you to move forward. You know, if you're serious about it, I mean, I'm talking like sick and tired of being sick and tired. You can get it done, and it will be done. I just want to thank you all for tuning in. I just need to get a couple shout-outs before I get out here. One of them is my sponsor, Paradise Mortuary. CEO is Mr. Henry J. Middleton. I'm sure you all know him because he's from my hometown, but he's there in Atlanta. And his business is at 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia, 30060. And you can reach out to Henry Middleton. He's the CEO and founder of Paradise Mortuary and Cremation Services. You can reach out to him at 678-567-7512. I also have another sponsor. He is behind the scenes. I now have a website. So I would love for you all to check it out. It is chroniclesofafw.com. That's chroniclesofafw.com. So I would love for you all to subscribe and check it out and give me your thoughts. I love feedback. Now, as I move forward, this is the pre-kicker for the third-year anniversary, August 11th, and we're going to do a panel forum every Sunday for the month of August. Our topics are going to be submitted and committed. You know, we sometimes ask in God for, you know, and I apologize, submitted and committed, we're going to be talking about, you know, relationships and marriages, and we're going to talk about the part of the vow when they say, I will honor and obey. So I am really looking forward to speaking about this. After that, we'll be going to Save and Single. Well, that'll be me right there. But then we'll be talking about, are you ready for what you're asking God for? And that goes back to what I was originally going to say. You say that you want your Boaz, but are you the virtuous woman to receive your Boaz? And that, on the other side of that, Boaz, are you, you know, Ray, are you the Boaz that you need to receive your virtual woman? So, you know, that's going to be a very interesting one. And the last one will be bondage or freedom. Which one will you choose? We get in bondage for so many reasons. I was in bondage for a long time because I didn't want to deal with the abuse and I didn't want to deal with all the other stuff that came with it. And now I'm striving to freedom. And that's what we're going to talk about. I have a host of panelists who has graciously agreed to serve. And they have actually been former guests on the show for this past year or two or three. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to stream, y'all. So y'all trying to work through this thing. I'm trying to stream. So I'm hoping I'll be able to have the stream up while I have them on video. And it'll stream on my Facebook, both my Facebook, my Katrina and my Chronicles and my Twitter and LinkedIn and all that other stuff. But that's the goal. So if anybody who knows how to stream and know how to work Restream, please give me a call because the system needs help. So with that being said, I want to thank you all again for coming on board and just coming and just holding me down for these 3 years. I'm looking forward to the years to come. And God is elevating. And know he's opening doors and things are – people have already told me, but we'll just see. But right now, we're going to move on over to streaming. So I have everybody on video, on live. So definitely, if you enjoy this, I know you will enjoy the month of August. And I just want to say, for those who may be going through, continue to trust the process. Because God, not only, he does like, what's his name? Torrin Wells have this song that, and Maverick said that, you know, God never loses a battle. He doesn't not only lose a battle, he doesn't waste a battle. And that's very true. He does not waste anything that he puts us through. He uses it for our good, but for his glory. And that's what he does for me. I love you. But God loves you more. And before I go again, thank you. I'm looking forward to another 3 years. So I will see you again next Sunday. I'm not sure if it's going to be my personal page or my Chronicles page. But either way, I will be there next Sunday, and I have my special guest. And I believe it will be, Miss Denisa Burns. Mr. Lisa Burns, and quite a few other people. God loves you more. Please go. Thank you for the support. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. I am done.